Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
And welcome back to Project Independence and you here at WCWP.org. And I'm Rebecca Miller, your guest host for today's show, along with our co-host, Otto Lopes, and the wonderful radio show producer, Christina Liu. We've been talking with Greg Balbera, our guest today, who is the owner of Right at Home, and Greg is a certified senior advisor. So we got a lot of information in the first half hour, and I know that we're gonna get a lot more right now. And you know, one of the things that you know we're concerned about with our loved ones and also ourselves, I mean, is when is the aging process normal, when you're forgetting things or misplacing things or having other aches and pains, and versus when, you know, maybe there is something to look into. How do you gauge that? You know, there's two things. How do you gauge it on yourself? You know, if you're having concerns about yourself, and how do you also kind of gauge, how do you gauge as a loved one of a, you know, you have a parent, an older parent?
Sure. So discerning between normal changes of aging and mental health disorders versus not normal are never kind of easy to diagnose under normal circumstances. Obviously, during COVID, it has become more challenging because, as we said, you know, the lack of in-person visits. But certain behavior changes that I think people should look out for, which can certainly be a kind of a tipping point, would be things like, you know, is your loved one sleeping much more or less than usual? Are they feeling unusually confused or on edge? Are they exhibiting low or no energy? Are they eating more or less than usual? Are they experiencing prolonged grief that doesn't subside? Do they no longer have the interest in certain hobbies or interests that they had, you know, beforehand? Do they seem to exhibit a feeling of hopelessness or helplessness? Do you see differences in their smoking or their drinking or using drugs that they weren't using beforehand? And obviously, maybe the most significant, are they expressing any types of thoughts of suicide? So any of those types of, you know, changes in behavior should certainly be the type of the thing that you should take notice of, and then maybe say, hey, maybe we need to schedule an appointment with our, you know, with our regular doctor to get a checkup, see what's going on. That would definitely be kind of a starting point for us. And for us, you know, those types of things, especially with our, you know, with a lot of families being disconnected and not being able to see each other. One of the things that that our aides do is they'll report those types of changes in behavior, changes in condition. So our nurse can be very active in saying, okay, that definitely doesn't sound like, you know, Jane Doe. We need to reach out to the family. We need to make a doctor's appointment. We need to kind of step things up here and take things to the next level.
I think sometimes when you're also dealing with the geriatric community and they have some of the symptoms that are related to mental health, depression, that kind of thing, I think they immediately think, or the person thinks, or the family member thinks that it's dementia. You know, I mean, you can get a lot of the symptoms, you know, from depression too, you know?
Absolutely.
So I think people are hesitant. They're just so afraid of, you know, an awful diagnosis to kind of, you know, get to their healthcare provider. Is there a way that you kind of, I want to say, assist people, you know, to get to their healthcare provider based on their symptoms, and kind of like with a little, you know, it's probably not dementia. I don't know how you kind of, you know, speak to people or get them to their providers.
Sure. So we obviously, in the course of our day, in the course of our business, we are having a lot of conversations. People start to, you know, the loved ones start to sense or or see some of these symptoms that you're talking about that can be related to dementia. So a lot of the things that we can kind of, you know, somewhat self-diagnose in the beginning. First of all, a patient who, or a client who is on a lot of different medications, sometimes it can be as simple as certain medications don't necessarily play nicely in the sandbox together. So sometimes when we start to see some, you know, if a client has just started taking some new medication and we get very different behavior, you know, very different dramatic behavior soon after taking new medications, what we'll do is, again, our nurse will reach out to the pharmacist, reach out to the doctors and say, hey, you know, Jane Doe just started taking, you know, whatever drug it is. And all of a sudden we're seeing different behavior. So sometimes the pharmacist will say, hey, well, I didn't realize, because they're getting certain drugs from a different pharmacy and they're getting these drugs from our pharmacy. But when they put the whole picture, when they put the whole puzzle together, then, you know, they realize that, you know, drug A and drug B don't really work well together. And there might be an alternative to A or B that can eliminate certain of these symptoms. So that, you know, so that that's a big part of it. Again, you know, there are certain aspects of aging. Sometimes we lose a word or we don't think of something. That doesn't mean we have dementia. That's just a normal part of aging. Our brain is not functioning like it was when we were 21 years old. We like to call that tip of the tongue, but back of the mouth, right? So it's like we don't necessarily, we struggle to find that word in that second, but 30 seconds later, we remember the word or we remember the specific event that we really wanted to talk about. So that's normal. So a lot of times we have to allay a lot of fears in both our clients and in their loved ones that behavior is normal for someone who is 70, 80, or 90 years old. Now, sometimes the, you know, the symptoms are more pronounced and we get to a situation where, you know, there are, you know, dementia becomes, you know, an issue or is becoming prevalent and present. And then we want to get the family the right resources. We want to make them aware of what dementia means. Everyone's dementia is different than everybody else's. Dementia does not, you know, there's many different forms of dementia, Alzheimer's being the biggest form of dementia, but there's vascular dementia, there's many different types of dementia. So not every person who has dementia is going to follow the same path. Not everybody gets short-term memory loss or loses the ability to, you know, have, let's say, take care of their personal care and their bodily function. So everyone's path is different. So a lot of times we are spending a lot of our time educating both the client and the families with, you know, what it means, what they can do, how we can kind of, you know, stretch the process out so that it doesn't become a big issue right away. And that's a big part of what we do on a daily basis.
You know, on the meds thing, I have a friend who had somebody who was on Ambien for a long time. And that was finally mentioned to the doctor. And facts are that caused that person to have memory problems. They were in a fog all the time, as an example of medication issues. But absolutely. I think that another thing that's important is that the person who is going through all these things doesn't know that they're going through them. You know, you don't, if you knew, you wouldn't be having a problem, I don't think. You know, it's complicated.
Absolutely. And one of the big issues we find, you know, with dementia and depression is, I think in this country, you know, historically, there's been a stigma related to depression, right? While depression is kind of a disease of the brain, sometimes it's not necessarily evident. You know, if someone has a broken arm or if they have Parkinson's and so they, you know, they're exhibiting symptoms of Parkinson's, those are visible to everybody else. Sometimes depression is not visible. And because of that stigma, a lot of times people are afraid to ask for help. So I think it's very important that, you know, the loved ones or the care providers, whoever that might be, let that person know and letting the family know that actually the stronger thing is to say, I need help, and it's okay to ask for help, and that when you get the help, you're going to potentially feel better. In fact, sometimes feel much better. And if we can get past that stigma depression is a problem, we should kind of hush it and keep it in the closet. That's an important thing. And I think as a country, we've made a lot of progress in the last 5-10 years on that front, but we still have a long way to go.
Well, the older generations, which I'm part of, are probably more guilty of that than many others, because you grew up in the, tough it up, you know, you can handle it.
Yeah, rub some dirt on it and get back out
there. Yeah, right, it'll go away. Yeah, rub a few spots of dirt on your head and maybe the depression will go away. I don't think they even knew the word depression when I was a kid. I never heard it. Let's put it that way. You know, he's in a bad mood, you know, or, you know, he's a real grump or whatever, you know, but there was, I don't recall ever hearing that word when I was younger. But that doesn't mean it didn't exist. Obviously it did, just not in my world.
And a lot of times also we need to diagnose maybe what's causing the problem, right? I mean, some things are obvious, you know, someone's lost a, you know, a loved one, a spouse, you know, things of that nature. You know, so that can obviously can cause normal grief, but then there's a period of time where if that grief kind of just keeps going and going and going, it isn't addressed, it can become abnormal. And so, you know, helping loved ones, you know, come to terms and letting them know, maybe finding somebody to talk to, a professional, a psychologist, psychiatrist, having someone to talk to who can help someone work through that, you know, those issues is very important.
Yeah. Greg, one of the things you had brought up was, I'm going to say, it's almost medication mismanagement, you know, when you're going to different pharmacies and there's not one doctor who's kind of managing or overseeing, or, you know, sometimes even family members don't know. You go to the doctor in one visit and the doctor says, you know, we're just going to increase your this and lower your that. And then, you know, that changes, you know, your little weekly pill box completely. Do you guys provide any level of medication management?
We do. So our on-staff RN does provide med management. But we also find it's really important to work with the pharmacist and the pharmacy, and to also, as you said, really, if you're on multiple meds, you really want to be getting those meds from one pharmacy, because that pharmacist, you know, they're the greatest resource we have in this, to be perfectly honest. And if someone is getting, you know, meds from two or three or four different pharmacies, and the pharmacist doesn't know really what's going on, that's the potential right there for, you know, for an absolute disaster.
So, yeah, and then you have the mail-ins, because a lot of seniors have to mail away for their, you know, 90-day prescriptions and things like that. So yes, it is the pharmacist, but it's also, you know, just somewhat, understanding that, you know, there are medicines that you're not getting through the pharmacy too, and changes. So, yeah.
And to talk to Otto's example from a few seconds ago, where Ambien is known to cause, let's say, you know, fogginess or some memory loss. So what happens sometimes is you have a patient who's on Ambien, let's say, as an example, and now the family starts saying, well, you know, dad now has memory loss. So they take him to a doctor, and maybe they don't even mention that he's on Ambien. So the doctor diagnoses, well, he's got memory loss, so maybe he's starting some type of dementia. Now they just prescribe another medicine, which could have another unintended side effect. So it's like one medicine can get another side effect and down the line. And it's like, if you just remove that first medicine, all those problems can go away, you know, immediately. So also, besides talking to your pharmacist, if you are bringing your loved one to multiple doctors, it's important to let the doctors know the other meds that the other professionals have prescribed.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, you really should have a sheet that summarizes. I'm sorry, but
exactly, yeah. Otto. When we come back, we'll just mention that it's a good idea. We have to take a short break, and then we'll be back with Greg Balbera. You've been listening to WCWP.org, Project Independence.